Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 5. While you turn over there, again, thank you for the privilege and the invitation to come. And also want to thank the Hornsbys for the supper tonight. Very delicious. And they said, go back again. I said, well, I got to preach, so I just can't overeat. So, but it was very good. If I didn't have to preach, I would have eaten more, I guarantee you. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 12 through verse 14 will be my text tonight. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those by whom reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. When I started my first pastorate many years ago, I met with a well-respected and honorable pastor and asked him for counsel. One of the things that he told me was, get your people to love the Word of God. Well, I knew that was sound advice because 2 Timothy tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And beyond that, I had personally experienced the tremendous impact and influence that the Bible can have in my life and in your life. As a Bible student in college, it dawned on me during the fall of my sophomore year that I had never even read the Bible through. Not once have I gone and read it all. And as a result, I committed it to regular, consistent Bible reading, usually on a daily basis. And the changes that occurred in me spiritually as I began to habitually expose myself to God's Word. And I spiritually grew by leaps and bounds, especially during the first several years. And I have continued that practice to this very day. I therefore would like to extend the same challenge to you. I would that you desire the things of God, and I encourage you to get into God's Word every day. It is my objective to stir in you a hunger and thirst for God's Word. So out of our passage tonight, the title of my message is Hunger and Thirst for God's Word. And so let's pray. Amen. Father, thank you for the privilege to meet with your people in your house, and Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to share. And Lord, thank you so much for their provision and watch care. Thank you for their burden to have a revival service and your direction in having them invite me and allowing me to come. And I pray that you would just bless your word as it goes forth, that which you've laid upon my heart to share. Not only for those services we've already conducted, but those that are yet to come, but even tonight as we stand before you, we ask for your mercy and for your grace. You'd speak through me and use me. And Lord, help us to be attentive and let us learn from your word. Teach us by your Holy Spirit. Draw us unto you. And we do pray for any lost in our midst that you would convict them and draw them, grant repentance and faith that they would be saved tonight. All things we ask, God, would be for your honor and for your glory. And so forgive us where we fall short. We love you. And we ask it in Jesus' name and amen. I want to think about the need to hunger and thirst for God's Word. The message is going to be very simple. We're just simply going to look through this passage. And that'll be my first point and my main point about growing in the Bible. And then I'll make an application. And then at the end, I will have some considerations, which will be my conclusion. So it's a very simple message, but we trust one that will be a blessing to your heart. So let's concern ourselves with that which we read and that which is found within our text and how that we ought to grow in the Bible. The first thing I bring to your attention is found in the first part of verse 12, where we read that he says, for when the time you ought to be teachers. And what I submit unto you is there's a reasonable expectation for believers. Whether you like it or not, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's an expectation for you to be able to get to the place where you can teach others the truths of God's Word. Amen. And that's what the writer to the author of Hebrews is writing about by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. For when the time that you ought to be teachers. And so I glean from this that there are teachers and there are students. This is always the case, and that's how God has intended it. And so we have the writer saying that there were teachers, and you ought to be teachers yourself, but that means that there are students to be around. And so you may be a teacher, you may be a student, or you may should be a teacher, and you're yet a student. Well, I understand we'll always be students, but you get the drift and the context of the passage. Teachers and students, they are prevalent. And training is to be provided. He says that in the text that you ought to be teachers, that you should have learned enough by now that you ought to be able to teach something. But I would like to remind you that during the Great Commission that is expressed for us in Matthew chapter 28, well, we're to evangelize and we're to baptize. But what is the last aspect of that? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And that's teaching, isn't it? And so we're to be teachers. And so learning is expected. Don't try to pass through life in a passive sense of saying, well, I don't need to learn, I don't need to grow. I'm a Christian, but it really doesn't make any difference. It does make a difference. You want a desire to grow. You want to know who God is. You want to know His Word more. Learning is expected. When you at the time you ought to be teachers, you should be learning, you should be growing, you should be developing. And so I submit unto you as well, when you think about the first part of this verse, is that leadership is the objective. You ought to be teachers. And so I would encourage you, dear Christian friend, to love God, to love His Word, to learn, to grow. Keep being taught yourself so that you can develop, so that you can grow, so that you can expand, so that one day you can be a teacher. And then you can commit those things unto others. And so I also submit unto you, then, there are three aspects that come to our attention as we concern ourselves with this passage. And that is the educator, which is the teacher. And then we have the educated, which is the student. And then we have the education, which is the curriculum. And of course, the curriculum we're concerned about is the Word of God, the Bible. And so I see in the first part of this verse, the reasonable expectation for believers. You ought to be teachers. Somewhere along the way, you want to strive to meet that goal. However, what we find in the text is, in the latter part of verse 12, is that there's a failure of some to meet that expectation. And so he says, you have need that one teach you again. You should be teachers, but somebody needs to teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And so some of these individuals, they should have been teachers, but they have failed to get to that point. And so let me offer unto you a few considerations in regard to that. I believe that there is suitable and appropriate learning has not taken place. That's what we find within the text. You should be teachers, but you're not teachers. So you should be learning and you should be at that point, but you aren't. And so the learning just has not taken place. I would also surmise that the problem appears to be with the student. It's not with the teacher. When you ought to be teachers, you need to be taught again. So they've been taught, it's been expressed to them, they have an opportunity to grow and to learn and to become teachers, but they failed in that aspect. So the problem appears to be with the student, not with the teachers. And so as a result, he tells us within the passage that remedial lessons are necessary. He says that you have need that one should teach you again, which be the first principles. The very first, the basic things of the Word of God. And you know what remedial lessons are, right? I mean, if you go through high school and you don't get everything that you should get, and you go to college and you step on the campus and you enter into the first classes, or if they give you a test for an assessment, and they'll say, you know what, you're not really prepared yet. You need to go back and take high school English again. That's a remedial course. And what he is telling us is that we ought to become teachers, but sometimes we fail in our learning and we're not where we ought to be, and we have to go back and take remedial courses. We have to get the basics, the very simple things. And so he says the first principles. Every Christian should learn the first principles, but then continue on and go beyond that. You don't want to be satisfied, well, I know about salvation, I know about Jesus, and I know about baptism and the church, and well, you know, I'm not going to worry about anything else. You don't want to do that. You want to learn. You want to grow. You want to develop and learn what God has for you. And so those basic things, Well, if you don't learn them, you got to keep going to class until you do learn them. And that's what he says within the text. And of course, the concern is the curriculum is the Bible. I mean, that's what he said in the verse, did he not? You need to learn the first principles of the oracles of God. He's talking about biblical instruction. Aren't you glad you can come to a church just like this and get biblical instruction? Amen. Aren't you glad you have a pastor that will do that? You have Sunday school teachers that will do that. Well, what a blessing that is. Not every church has that opportunity. And yet we have the writer here talking to those that should have an education, should be at an advanced state, but they're not. And so he says, you got to go back and learn the elementary things once again. And these are the things in the Word of God. And then what we find as he gives this expression, the illustration which he offers to this is, well, what he does is he contrasts the levels of understanding as expressed in dietary terms. Well, look at the end of the verse once again. He says, and you are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And so we recognize there's a contrast there between milk and meat. And I would remind you that word meat talks about nourishment. It is food. Although meat such as steak and deer burgers and things like that, they're in opposed to milk. And so we understand that. We all have that concept and understanding. But he talks about this in dietary terms. And so we can understand that. We see the expression found within the text. So let's look into verse 13 as he digresses and concerns himself with the fact that milk is for the baby. We all know that, don't we? And so verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So let's discern what he's expressing within the text. He draws the comparison between milk and meat, and he addresses, first of all, in verse 13, this matter of the milk. And he begins at the beginning. He begins with a baby. Now, the word babe in the text means an infant. It's a babe or a child. Technically, the Greek word carries the idea that it's one that's not speaking. And so all of you that have children, you know, there's a point where they're gibbering and jabbering and all that. They're not speaking. Technically, according to the Greek word, that would be the application for a baby. But we concern ourselves. We think, well, a baby is just that little newborn, you know, and it's only a couple weeks old. 'Tis true. So we know what a baby is. And he begins at the beginning there. Everyone that useth milk, he says, well, he's a babe. We know how that works. A baby uses milk. Why does a baby use milk? Because milk is simple. It's very simple. It's very easy to digest. Milk is malleable. I mean, it breaks down real easy. I mean, you don't have to worry about it. You just give milk to a baby. And that's how God intended it, isn't it? I mean, for the very young like that needs milk because it is simple and it's malleable, but it's foundational. This is very simple. It's foundational. All babies need milk. And then it's nutritional. A lot of nutrition in that milk. And so he says, well, there's nothing wrong with milk. But what he is saying is the one that uses milk is considered the baby. And then he says that everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. So he uses this word unskillful. You know what that means, the Greek word means in the English? Unskillful. That's a good translation here. But the word means inexperienced. It is one who is ignorant. Everyone that uses the milk is unskillful in the word. If all you are in your Christian walk, if you're beyond the size of a baby and you ought to know more when you ought to be teachers and you're still just in the milk stage, then you are unskillful. You are ignorant in the things of God. And don't be offended over that. Just accept the description and do something about it. Amen. You should be past that. Now, of course, if a baby is a baby, then we expect the baby to only take the milk. If you've just been saved, we don't expect you to have everything in the Word of God down pat. Nobody expects that. And so, and we'll address that a little bit later on. But he talks about these people who should be teachers are not teachers. And so they're unskillful in the word. They have need of milk. That's what he said in the latter part of verse 12. And then he addresses the fact that if you're using milk, then you're still just a baby. And that means that you are ignorant. You're unskillful. And so this one basically is ignorant of the Bible when he should know more than that. That's the description within the passage. And so if you'll glance back into verse 11, he makes an address unto them and says that seeing you are dull of hearing. I want to teach you more, but I can't teach you more because you're dull of hearing. You know why? Because they're unskillful. They're still struggling with the milk. They can't get past the milk. And so they're ignorant in the Bible. And this is the expression that we have. But in contrast to that, and we already have seen the description about milk and meat, right? So you look into verse 14, and you'll notice that steak is for the adult. Now, again, that word for meat is the word for nourishment or food. But in contrast, just to make it easy for us, when we look at it, we say meat, but that strong meat is food or nourishment. We're just going to apply it to the steak. Milk versus a good T-bone, right? So medium cooked, I understand. Strong meat, he says. Milk is for the baby. That's verse 13. Steak is for the adult. Can we just say that? Or someone old enough to handle it. You don't give steak to a baby, do you? There isn't one of you here that has children that when that child was a week old, you cut up a nice big piece of porterhouse and stuck it in his or her throat. You did not do that because the baby could not handle it. But as children get older, and they're able to handle it. And so what we find is the contrast between the immature and the mature. That's really was his expression. Verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Maturity versus immaturity. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Those who are of full age, that word, those two English words, full age, is one word in the original language, which means brought to completion. Fully accomplished, it's full grown or of ripe age. Maturity. And so strong meat belongs to them who are of full age. We understand that principle. We respond to that principle, don't we? But then notice, he talks about that strong meat. The word strong means stiff or hard. In regard to food, it means that which is solid, that which is firm. And of course, the word meat, as I've already mentioned, is the word for nourishment. And so what we recognize is, in contrast to the baby, is the baby uses milk and it's simple, it's malleable, it's foundational. Although it's nutritional, it's needful, but it's just very simple. But for the adult, however, it's complex, isn't it? It's stiff. It's strong meat is what he says within the text. It's chewy. It has substance. And, it's advanced. Again, you just don't give a steak to a child. But steak is nutritional. The strong meat is nutritional, but it's just not fitting for the little one. And so we see this contrast that he offers here between the milk for the baby and the meat for the adult. And what we understand then is the one that can take strong meat and is able to digest it and chew it up and all that is the one that has understanding, the one that is adept in the Bible. And every one of us who name the name of Jesus Christ ought to strive for that. Now, I want to be mature. I want to know. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to be able to handle some meat of the Word. Can we state it in that description? I believe that we can. And so we want to be understanding. We want to be adept. We don't want to be babies all of our life. And how do we do that? The end of that verse tells us, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The reason, the method or the way that we can grow to maturity and understand the Word and be skillful in the Word instead of unskillful in the Word is by its continual exposure. I get that from that phrase there that says reason of use. Even those who by reason of use. Those words in the original language mean a condition of the body or mind strictly as resulting from practice. Reason of use. Making a habit of it. Doing it again and again and again. When I was younger and I had at least a physical capacity, I may not have had the great ability to do so, but I played basketball. And we always had basketball practice, right? And we did it over and over and over and over, and it became habit. And that's reason of use. Amen. And what you need to do is take that very principle and apply it to the Word of God in your heart and your life and say, what I want to do is I want to take God's Word, and by reason of use, I want to practice this daily. I want to make it a habit. And so he says, that's how you do this, is by continual exposure. I said unto you in the beginning in my testimony of my days back in college, God called me to preach. He did so many things in my life, but I never read the book through. I've studied certain sections, and I was familiar with some of it and totally ignorant of other aspects of it. And so God brought that onto my heart. And he said, you need to expose yourself to this. And so then that's when I started plugging that in all those many years ago. In the Word of God, consistent, regular, dependent Bible reading, Bible study, still continue preaching, still continue studying, still continue sitting in the classes and things like that. But just reading, continual exposure. You want to grow in Jesus Christ? Love the Word of God and expose yourself to it every day. And some days you may not be able to, but just keep on going the next day. I would encourage you to do that. That's what he talks about here in the text in the latter part of verse 14. Those who by reason of use. Now notice the rest of that phrase. He says, those who with this reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And what happens is when you continue to expose yourself to the things of God, then you'll gain and develop discernment. That's the expression find in the text. When he says that they, by reason of use, have used their, or use of use, have their senses exercised. Their senses. And of course, that word refers to the organ of perception. You're able to perceive. You are to sense things. It comes from a main Greek root word, which means to perceive or to understand. And so, of course, in the context dealing with the Word of God, you want to be able to perceive the Word of God, comprehend the Word of God. So by reason of use, their perception or understanding of God's Word is what is being expressed. So he says, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern. Now, that word exercise means to technically, and if you look at this Greek word, you'll see the word gymnast, gymnasium. That kind of concept, because the word means to train in the gymnastic discipline. That's what the Greek word means. Therefore, it is to exercise in anything. It is to train to use. It is to discipline. When I mentioned that I played basketball in my youth and I had all those practices, well, that's training. That's the gymnastic aspect of it. Now, we weren't doing flips and tumbles and things like that. You understand that, but what we were doing was we were exercising, we were training to use, we were disciplining ourselves. You've heard of muscle memory, haven't you? You do something again and again and again and again, and it just happens. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to process it. It's muscle memory. Training is what that does. Training brings about muscle memory. And that's why police officers and military people and people who have certain technical skills, they train and they train and they train and they train and they do the thing over and over and over again. And what they're doing is by reason of use, they have their senses exercised. Amen. And what the Bible is telling us is that we need to get the Word of God and use it again and again and again, where it's almost like muscle memory. You know, you'll respond to it without even thinking because it's already there. Does that make a difference for you? I trust that it will, because he says that if you'll do this, then you have your senses exercised. It's trained to discern. And that word means, of course, to discern. It is to make a separation. It is making a distinguish between. And so we want to discern. And of course, we'll discern both good and evil, that which is holy and unholy, that which is good and evil, that which is right, that which is wrong, that which is godly, that which is ungodly. How do we do that? By getting into the Word of God and using it again and again and again, and just keep exposing yourself to it. Amen. Let me offer you a few lessons in regard to this. I said it was a very simple lesson. The first point is growing in the Bible, and that's the most of my message. And we'll arrive at the second point in just a second. But let me offer you a few lessons in regard to this. First of all, I say unto you that spiritual growth and increased biblical understanding is expected of the Christian. I don't care how old you are. If you believe that you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you believe that you're a Christian, you're expected to grow.
Amen.
God expects you to grow.
Amen.
The author of the Hebrews expects you to head toward being a teacher one of these days. That's what is expected of us. We're not to be satisfied with being spiritual babies all of our lives.
Amen.
That ought not be our desire at all. Number two, I do say unto you, and I touched on this just briefly, but be competent in the level that you're at. In other words, if you're a babe, then eat as a babe. Nobody questions that. If you've just been saved, nobody expects you to be able to list all the theological applications and all the variations of belief and content and all those things that you can find in the Word of God. Nobody expects that. You've just been saved. You need to learn the basics, like reading the Bible and praying, being faithful to church, just very simple things. Be confident. If you're a babe, then use the milk. And don't be ashamed of it. You know why? Because you're a babe. Now, I've never met a baby yet that said, you know what, I want the steak, and I'm not happy with the milk. Well, of course, they can't talk, but if they could talk, they would not do that because, you know what, they're babes. Milk's good.
Amen.
Milk's good. By the way, milk's good even if you're an adult. Eat milk. Does a body good, right? That's what the advertisement says. If you're a youth, then learn as a youth. If you're an adult, then know and respond as an adult. Wherever you're at in your life, in your spiritual walk, then be what you are, but you want to grow. You want to develop. I would be concerned if my children, when they were young, did not desire to grow and didn't want to grow. But they constantly are growing. They're much bigger than I am. And you know what? That's just fine. Because they should grow, and they needed to grow, and they did grow. But the point is be competent in the level that you're at. So if you've just been saved, then be happy with knowing some things about God and His Word, but then don't be content. I want to know more. I want to learn more. I'm going to keep reading. I'm going to keep studying. I'm going to keep coming to church. I'm going to sit in the Sunday school classes. I want to know more. And that's how you learn about God. Number three, desire good spiritual health. You desire good physical health, don't you? I trust that you do. And we waffle in that. We all do that. But we desire to have good physical health. We ought to desire to have good spiritual health. If you profess Jesus Christ, you ought to have a concern about your spiritual health. If you could have a spiritual checkup, my, what a good thing that it might do for you to go to the God and say, God, you're my doctor. Tell me how I'm doing and see what I need to cut out and see what I need to add and so forth. And desire good spiritual health. Number four, drink of the milk and feast on the Word, on that meat. As you grow, as you develop, still keep the milk, but desire the meat. The last thing is this. I just simply say and state unto you, hunger and thirst for God's Word. Would you do that?
Amen.
Would you have a hunger and a thirst for God's Word? Let's pass on to the application. Let me make a simple application, then I'll make some considerations. Number one, the Word of God consists of milk and meat. We have that expressed within the text. Milk, meat. And so it's still that way yet today. And we can prove that from our text, right? We don't have to read it again. You see that it's there. It talks about milk, talks about meat. But go, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And notice what you read in verse 2. When Peter wrote to those people and he was giving them instruction, he says in 1 Peter 2, 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. You still want to desire the milk of the Word. You can grow through the milk of the Word, just like a baby does. We should always yearn for God and His Word. We all should always want to know what God has for us. And that's what Peter is telling these people to do. The Word is profitable for spiritual growth. I guarantee you, dear Christian friend, if you neglect the Word of God, you will not grow spiritually the way God intends for you to grow.
Amen.
You must get into the Word. You must make it a part of your life. You must, by reason of use, exercise your senses with the Word of God, or you will not grow, and you will be stunted, and you will have ill spiritual health. It's true. Turn, if you would, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 as a related text. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 2, the Apostle Paul says, I have fed you. This is to the church of Corinth. 1 Corinthians 3, 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. And what the Apostle Paul is saying to the church of Corinth, he said that I had to change the diet because you're not able to take what I need to give you. Just like the author of the Hebrews. I want to teach you some things, but I can't because you're dull of hearing. And when you should be teachers, you're not teachers, and you're just still stuck with milk. And so I got to give you milk instead. And yet Hebrews is very complex, isn't it? And so Paul makes this statement that he had to change their diet. Why? Because they demonstrated spiritual immaturity. Look at the first verse. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal or fleshly, even as unto babes in Christ. The church of Corinth was at a place that they should have been mature, developed. They had so many struggles. They really did. And there's no perfect church. But he says, when I speak unto you, I should be able to give you more than what I'm giving you, but I can't because you haven't been able to progress. You're still a baby. And so I had to dial it back, is what the Apostle Paul is saying within the text, because they demonstrated spiritual immaturity. And he calls them carnal, and they demonstrated it in their life. And so Paul condemns them for that. Go back, if you would, then to Matthew chapter 5. So my first point in application is the fact that the Word of God consists of milk and meat. You can't deny it. Number two, Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount that we should possess spiritual desires. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, he said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Those things which are righteous, that which belongs to God, we ought to hunger and thirst for those things. So I think I can make application to the Word of God tonight, because we already found within the text that we ought to hunger and thirst after the Word of God, the milk and the meat. And so, blessed are you if you will hunger and thirst after righteousness. I say unto you, blessed you will be if you hunger and thirst after the Word of God. It is worth your time. Go, if you would, to Psalm 63. Psalm 63, my third point in application. Psalm 63 and verse 1, Psalm of David. And notice his expression. He says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Notice what he says. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. David said, my eye thirsts for you, God. And all I'm saying unto you tonight is that you need to thirst for God. You need to hunger after and thirst after righteousness. And that's going to include the Word of God. So, dear Christian, you say that you're saved, then I encourage you, I implore you with all that was within me to hunger and thirst for God's Word. Yes, for God, but part of that will be His Word. Does that make sense? Then turn, if you would, to the book of Amos. That might be a little tougher to find. Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. My fourth application is that God spoke through the prophet Amos, giving a warning to the nation of Israel regarding a famine. And this is what is written for us in Amos chapter 8 and in verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. Wow, what an expression. God said He's going to send a famine. None of us want to be in a famine. I wouldn't want to ever go into a famine, would you? And he says, God, I'm going to send you a famine, but it's not going to be of food or water, but it's going to be a famine of the Word of God. Can you consider how disastrous that is? No more Word. Can't drink of the milk. Can't eat of the nourishment of the steak of the Word. A famine of the Word of God. We can't even really ponder what that means. So a few lessons I want to offer to you, and then I'll reach my considerations. Four lessons. Number one, have a spiritual desire for God and the things of God. I implore you, Christian, desire God and the things of God. Number two, spiritually speaking, a famine of the Word is a bad thing. And yet there's a likelihood that some of you have brought the famine on yourself. You choose to do that. You're in fast mode. You know, some of these people get some cause and they're going to fast. And so they'll fast. Some of these people will fast themselves to death, literally. And they bring a famine on their own selves. The fact is, some Christian people have a famine in the Word. When I was a teenager, I kind of starved myself from time to time. That's why I said that when I was a sophomore, I said, I've never even read the book through. I'm going to get into the book more. Number three, spiritually, we need milk and meat of the Word. We do all the time. If you're a babe, desire the milk, but grow into meat. And then if you're an adult, keep using the milk and the meat. We need it all the time. Number four, I submit, a spiritual healthy person will hunger and thirst after God and His Word. If you're spiritually healthy, you will hunger and thirst after God, and you will hunger and thirst after His Word. And if you should be honest with yourself and say, you know what, that's just not true for me. I know that I'm saved, but I do not hunger and thirst after God, nor do I hunger and thirst after God's Word. And it's really not much in my on my radar. Then I just submit unto you that you need to have a self-examination and recognize that there's a spiritual sickness going on there. There's some ill health. Because a healthy spiritual person will be seeking the things of God and God's Word. You're just going to. So let me offer you a couple things and I'll be finished in consideration. Let me ask you the question, why aren't you hungry? When you go to the dinner table, why aren't you hungry? Well, let me just offer you a couple things and you can apply it to the lesson itself in regard to the Word of God. Simply, you just don't have an appetite. You just don't have a desire. And you know, sometimes as we go through our lives, sometimes it's that way. We're just not hungry. Nothing wrong with us. We're not sick. We're just not hungry. It happens. But it can happen to us in a spiritual sense, and we don't want that to happen. So why is it you're not hungry for the Word of God? You say, well, I'm just not hungry. I just don't have an appetite for it. Well, you need to check that out because we need God's Word all the time. But another reason why it is that we will not eat and we're not hungry is because you're sick or infirmed. And I found that true with the elderly. As the elderly get more elder and they become more ill and infirmed and they draw closer to death, especially for someone that has a disease, that they're getting closer to death, they'll quit eating and they'll quit doing it on their own. I think that's just God's preparation for that. But the fact is, if we're sick or infirmed, then we're not hungry. And so if you have the flu and you're down and your stomach's upset, you don't want to eat, do you? Normally, you don't care for that. And so if you're ill or infirm, so I say, well, why aren't you hungry? Well, it's because I'm sick. So why aren't you hungry for the things of God? Well, I'm sick spiritually. Well, that's a telling statement, isn't it? So that's something to consider. Let me offer you also another reason why it is that you might not be hungry. Perhaps you're already full. I had lunch, but I didn't have anything in the afternoon, so when we went to dinner, I was hungry. And everything tasted great. It was delicious and everything, but you know, I could have eaten before I left. Then I could have got over there and said, you know what, nah, thanks. I'll just sit and chat with you guys because I'm already full. Have you ever not been hungry because you're full? Well, that happens. Spiritually speaking, can make that application in regard to the false religions, perhaps intellectual pursuits. Maybe you're watching too much TV, too many movies, too many magazines. You're pursuing world events. You have so much stuff that's already filling your heart and your mind. You're already too full to even think about God and His Word. There's too much distraction going on. That's possible. You're just already full. And so you're just not hungry. And then, of course, we can think that we're just too busy or too distracted to eat. I think about the parable that Jesus offers in Matthew 13 about the sower and the seed. The seed fell among the thorns, and it says the seed that fell among the thorns was choked by the thorns. You know, I mean, the cares and the riches of the world chokes it off, and it doesn't become fruitful. If we're too busy and too distracted to eat, then I'm too busy. And so I need to dial it back because I want to continue to stay hungry for God and for His Word. And sadly, and let me say this before I pass on to my last comment, and that is sadly, sometimes you might be hungry, but there is nothing to eat. I said earlier that you've been blessed to have a church that you can come to, a pastor that will give you the Word, Sunday school teachers that will give you the Word. You're interested in that, you come. That's a very good thing, but you know, not everybody has that opportunity. There are people that want to know and can't. The churches they attend, they never teach them anything. They don't know anything. They don't learn anything. And they're hungry. They really do want to know, but they're in the wrong place and they're not getting the food that they need and they don't hear anything that they need. What a disaster that is. I'm so glad you have a church like this. So I would conclude. Let me offer you this and I'm finished. Come to the table hungry. When you come to the church, come hungry. Look to see what God has for you. Be in prayer for it. Be in prayer for the services. God, show me something. Teach me something. I tell my people all the time, if you come looking for a blessing, you'll receive a blessing. Amen. If you come looking for nothing, you're going to get nothing. You come looking for a blessing and God to speak to your heart, God will bless you. He will, and He'll bless your services. So come to the table and come to the table hungry. Come often. Come as often as you can. I like to eat a couple times a day. I skip breakfast, but I eat lunch and I eat dinner. And I like to do that, and I like to do that every day. And so I'm going to come often. Can you imagine what you'd be physically if your food was the amount that you spent time in the Word of God? I mean, as often as you would eat the Word of God. Well, I only eat it once a month. Well, that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to just waste away. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Eat well-balanced meals. Eat nutritiously. Get into the Word of God. Keep the milk. Keep the meat. Keep it flowing. But again, and you already do this, and I encourage you to continue to do this, go where the food is available. The food's available here. Keep coming. Keep learning. Keep growing. And then let me say this. Good health also requires exercise. In physical health, you have to eat, but then you need to exercise. You need to get some sort of activity. So let me say unto you, that if you want to be spiritually healthy, desire and thirst for God's Word, but then exercise. And what I mean by that is put what you know into action and be active in serving the Lord. So get your exercise by plugging in the Word of God and letting it be effectual in your life and in the lives of others. And so I just simply tell you, hunger and thirst for God's Word. Hunger and thirst for God's Word. This is supposed to be a time of revival, right? You said we want to pray for revival. I talked about last night about a broken and contrite heart. That's a step toward revival. Hunger and thirst after God's Word. That's a step toward revival.
Amen.
Whatever your need is, you just need to deal with God. And I encourage you to do that.
Amen.
And see what God will do in your life. He will make a difference. He will.
Amen.